talking about making decisions. It's good to see everyone who made it out. We have some visitors with us, and we're thankful for your presence as well. I'm going to invite all of you to open up your Bibles, if you would, to James chapter 1. That's where the lesson is going to be coming from. Just a few minutes. Decision-making is part of our life. We make decisions every day. Have we ever struggled with making decisions? Have we ever had the fear of making the wrong decision? Raise my hand on that. Have we gotten used to others making decisions for us? The Bible is designed to help us make the ultimate decision in our life. And that ultimate decision, the most important decision that any person could make, to choose to serve God. And the Bible is designed in a way to get us to the point of recognizing the power of God, recognizing what God has done for us through the giving of His Son, for us to make a decision to serve Him. And after making that ultimate decision, every decision that we make in our life, should it not contribute towards the main decision, the ultimate decision that we've made to serve God, in helping us perceive the end goal? And we also cannot allow certain decisions to dictate whether or not we're going to stay faithful. Lots of decisions. One of my biggest pet peeves with work is indecisiveness. I don't know why, but it drives me nuts sometimes where you have the facts laid out before you. You know what the best decision to be made is, but people just won't make that decision. They're wishy-washy. Two-sided. They go back and forth, they wrestle with themselves, maybe with others, and they just can't get to the point of actually just making that decision. So I really appreciate the scripture reading tonight. In Joshua chapter 24, that passage is really common for us, and we have lots of homes that have a sign that says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." But there's so much more in that passage as we read this evening. Joshua implored the people to make a decision. You make a decision tonight. Today, you make a decision. If you're going to continue to serve the gods of your fathers or choose to serve God, but make a decision today. Joshua implored them to do that. But he said, "As for me and my house, I've made the decision to serve God. I've made that decision. Do the same thing. Make a decision today. Don't be double-minded." And that's where we're going to come from James chapter 1 tonight. So in James chapter 1, I want to read the first verses 5 through 8. We're going to pretty much stay here in James chapter 1 in just these few verses because there's a lot to it. But it really gets to the point of being a double-minded individual. Being a double-minded individual. So turn over to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 5 through 8. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives you all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him, but he must ask in faith, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For the man ought not to accept, or expect, for the man not ought to accept, excuse me, verse 7, for the man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. We see here, as James approaches this, it's a double-minded man. Literal meaning in the Greek is two-spirited. He had two priorities. He had two loyalties. You're being pulled in two separate directions at the same time. If you take a compass, and a compass is always looking for true north, magnetic north. But if you put a magnet in your pocket, that compass can become disoriented and confused for which direction is true north. It's saying here that you're going to become disoriented. You're going to become unstable, as the verse says. You're going to have an unstable lifestyle. And eventually, all of your ways will be unstable. Double-minded. God is not more than double-minded. Troy read for us from the scripture reading this evening. You cannot serve God and wealth. Joshua implored the people, choose God or serve those other gods and make a decision. You can't go both ways. You have to make a decision or you're considered a double-minded individual. Are we double-minded? Are there times that we struggle with making a decision? I want to consider there are three different areas that you can become unstable. The first one is being unstable in emotions. You worry when you can't decide. You can't make a decision on whatever you're thinking of. You're becoming confused. You can't eat. You can't sleep. You drive yourself wild on those things. You ask yourself, what should I do? If I make this decision, is this going to be the wrong decision or is this going to be the right decision? I just can't tell. This indecision is going to create an emotional instability in one's life. You have to be careful of that. Imagine a psychiatrist asking his patient, and he says, you know, I just can't get a straight answer out of you. You seem indecisive. Are you indecisive? And he says, well, yes. Well, maybe no. Well, okay, yes, no, I was, but now I'm not sure. I really just can't decide. Well, that doesn't make any sense at all. Unstable emotions. Unstable relationships. When you think of the lack of making a decision, you never think about commitment. Because when you commit to something, you made a decision to commit. Think about relationships for a minute. Think about a marriage relationship. Indecisiveness can ruin relationships. Problems where couples are having problems committing. Well, do I want in or do I want out? If I get in, can I stay in or can I get out? And they ask themselves, what if? What if? What if? What if? Once again, this indecisiveness creates this instability in family. Looking further into family relationships, lack of commitment destroys families. Think about a parent implementing rules in their household. If you ever implemented a rule and the next day you almost forgot the rule you made, maybe one day you implemented it and you say, hey, if you do this, child, you're going to be disciplined. Maybe you follow through, but the next day they did the same thing and you didn't follow through on the discipline. Sometimes kids will get confused when the parents can't get their rules straight. And they keep changing the rules. It gives mixed messages, perhaps, to the children. Well, what's the rule today? Well, today it was this. Well, can I do this? Can I do that? Well, Mom and Dad said this, but well, they didn't say that yesterday. They said that a week ago. They let me slide then. There's a possible fear. The kids, perhaps, will start making their own decisions. Well, I'm just going to do it anyways. Because I got away with it. Perhaps they'll start making their own decisions. Not based on what was taught right and wrong. What was true and what was not. What was good for them or what was harmful to them. But rather on the fact that their parents can't make a decision and stick with the rules. Perhaps that could happen. I think maybe we've seen families in the world that struggle with that. You think a lack of commitment or indecisiveness could destroy a church? Can you be counted on? Can I be counted on? Am I good to my word? Am I going to be there when I say I'm going to be there? Am I going to do what I said I would do? Commitment. Really important. When you make a decision, you commit. Don't be double-minded. How about an unstable spiritual life? Go back to James chapter 1 here. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For the man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man. It's as if you're double-minded and you can't make the decision to serve God. It's as if you're cut off. Right? Perhaps your prayers are cut off. Perhaps your relationship with God is cut off. You know, God is going to not give you the things that He said He would give you if you served Him, because you're not serving Him anymore, because you can't make the decision and the commitment to do so. And if we can't do that, we have no expectation to receive anything. We should not. And if you don't believe that God can, why would you ask? I think of this verse. And you approach God in prayer. And here in a minute we're going to talk about that in recognizing the power of God. Think about that just for a minute. Believing that God can do these things, but if you're wishy-washy, if you're being tossed, you can't make a decision. How can you expect that God is going to bless you? Rather, in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 6, it says, "And without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him." Do we believe in God? Do we believe that God is the all-powerful and that God is faithful? Double-mindedness produces a double life. Really not who you say you are. But you know there is a solution. Cure. And it's in the exact same three verses that we just read in James chapter 1. And the answer is wisdom. First of all, you have to admit that you have a need. You have to admit that there is something lacking. Because in verse 5 it says, "But if any of you lacks wisdom," how do we know? Well, the only way to know if we are lacking in something, we have to take a very close examination of ourselves to know where we stand with God. That is something that you and I, as individuals, must do. We have to recognize we have a need. We have to examine ourselves for that. And we have to ask for wisdom. From whom? Well, it says right there, to ask God. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask of God. God is the only one that can grant us wisdom. We have the knowledge right here that we need. We need to put it to use. And as we're asking God for wisdom to help us put this in action, put this to use, comes into play. But we also have to ask in faith. Earlier I asked about the power of God, praying to God. When we pray to God, if you pray to God and you're asking of something that you think is impossible, that's not going to happen, then you're pretty confident in yourself that perhaps God is not even going to grant you this. But what is the point in even asking or praying to God? What is the point? You don't have faith in God. When we pray to God, we're not asking God in the sense that He will do it. We're asking and we're trusting in God that God can do it. Because God has the power to do it. Not saying that He will. Because in James chapter 4, just a few chapters later, James goes on and he talks about going into city and doing these and planning these things. He says there in verse 13, come on, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and you vanish away. But he says, instead you ought to say this, if the Lord wills. See, we need to trust in God. God has the power to do whatever God wants to do. Whatever we ask of God, we need to trust that God can do it. But it must be God's will to do it. It is on God's time and God's way. Power of God. When you pray to God and you ask in faith, you are truly committing to God and saying, God, I trust you, I believe in you, I believe in your power. If it is your will, grant this to me. Just as Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me, but if not, let thine will be done. He trusts that God's will always be done. That is so important when we pray to God. And we see there that God is faithful. God is faithful. It says it will be given to him that he must ask in faith without any doubt. God is faithful. Do we have a problem with making decisions, with indecisiveness? Something that we have to consider at times. It's very clear that we can't be pleasing to God if we're double-minded, if we're being pulled from multiple directions, if we can't make a decision to serve God. It's not pleasing to the Lord. This is something that not only those who haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, but for those who have, those of us, this is something we have to reflect on as well. That maybe I chose to obey God at one point in my life, and I'm doing my absolute best to serve Him, but there are times that maybe perhaps I'm allowing the world to sway me. Or I'm allowing my friends, or my relationships, or work, whatever it is. Sometimes we have to bring ourselves back in check. We have to examine ourselves, recognize that we have a need. I hope this lesson was beneficial. This is one that I've been thinking about for a while, just because, just when it comes to indecisiveness, we all have to make a decision. In Joshua chapter 24, it wasn't Joshua's decision to make for them, it was their own decision to make. He couldn't make the decision for them or force them to serve God. He had to tell them, you choose. It's up to you. It's up to you. Nobody can force your hand on this. You have to make the decision. It's up to you. If you're here this evening haven't obeyed the gospel, we implore you to make that decision today. We implore you to make the decision to serve God. Don't be pulled in multiple directions. Make the decision today. Don't be indecisive or double-minded anymore. But if you're here this evening and you have obeyed the gospel, let's continue to examine ourselves. And if we ever recognize that there is a need, let's be honest with ourselves. Let's be honest with others. Most importantly, be honest with God. Because God wants us in His fold. If you're here this evening to be subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come forward as we stand.